You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to our November month in review here at the China Shop. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me, as always, is Kyle, creator of financialinitude.com. Kyle's celebrating a big promotion today. He's the regional atomic bombardier. How you doing, Kyle?
Oh, I'll take that. I will take that.
Who said they're always bad promotions?
Well, they usually are. It's like your little way of getting some sort of revenge.
Oh, for losing the bet over and over and over again.
Well, not necessarily. I don't know. It's pretty even, I think. I think you might still be up on the year. I have to go back and I need to update the bet page. Speaking of which.
It's right out of the gate talking bet.
No, we're just going to tease it.
Yeah.
Make everyone listen to the end.
Well, I lost. Random didn't win. Kyle gets to do some juicy consequences.
Feels like it's been a while.
It has. It has, because we keep losing to random.
Is your mustache gone yet?
Oh, yeah. Immediately. December 1st. I almost woke up at midnight just to shave it.
I was looking at it the other day. I was like, oh, shit, I haven't shaved my mustache yet. But the rest of my hair has grew in enough to where it doesn't look like I have one anymore. So so I've just transitioned into Grizzly Adams.
Grizzly Adams did have a beard.
Yeah.
Oh, Kyle, it feels like it's been a long November. Does that feel that way to you?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
Also, if it's... In case anyone's missing George, we decided to give him a month off since we're going to have him back for the big bonus at the end of December.
Yeah. Our annual review, if you will, which is fixing to be some great content, by the way.
Yeah. Might have to break all those up into their individual ones and just throw them all onto YouTube as a separate, like, 20-minute clips.
Oh, yeah. Each interview gets their own spot.
Yeah. But then I'd have to figure out how to put video to it. I don't know. I haven't thought that one through. Makes more work. That's generally not the way things go around here.
Yeah. It is looking like it's going to be two separate episodes. So Christmas and New Year's, it's our gift to you.
Yeah.
Bunch of experts and pros talking about 2021 and what they expect in 2022.
Loving it. So should we jump into it?
Yeah. Who was our first guest in November? Was it Deborah W. Ellis?
No, it was Mr. Sama, the option genius.
Yes. I liked him a lot.
A lot of people did. Apparently, he's really good at marketing, too. So it sounds like we really need to pick his brain to try to figure out how to get the show to grow.
Tell him we're getting back on for another interview and just make it for us.
Yeah. Or we do his show, which I still need to reach out to. I mean, trying to plan something to where we can come on and guest on his podcast.
Oh, that'd be great.
One of the things I really liked about him, though, too, was that he had a lot of the honesty that we like.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he talked about his struggles, it wasn't an easy path, and he was not trying to hide that either.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that's kind of a key thing to look for when you're trying to find somebody that you want to learn from.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want someone who's promising you, the moon.
Look, I opened up my first account and I doubled it in 2 weeks. Let me tell you how.
Make $500 a day with this one little easy trick. I mean, that gets you clicks, but that doesn't get you money.
Cost you $500 and I'll let you know how.
Right.
The secret is to sell the tip for $500 to one person a day.
Really is. Like, I think we need to write a book. Try to get some of that book money.
Some of that book money. People still buy books? Is that a thing?
Well, you can sell them on the Kindle store electronically. You don't even have to sell them as paperback.
Right.
And plus, they're super easy to get published now.
All right. Is that what Alan Sama did?
I don't know. No, that was another guest.
Right. I liked talking to Alan because he's basically doing the wheel. and his journey is mirroring yours in that way, in that like he's like, oh, I found that selling options is how you generate income.
It's just funny the way he came about it. Was he thought he was getting scammed. It's like, I sold this thing and it disappeared from my statement. I'm like, what the fuck?
Right.
No. When you sell it, it expires worthless. It just goes away. It's like having an IOU like burst into flames.
Yep. And now I don't owe you anything. Ha!
Yeah. And I'll just keep that.
And I think one of the takeaways that I got from him, if you recall, his wife mm-hmm. played a big supporting role in his journey.
Right.
Being his accountability partner.
I did mention that to my wife, and she was not thrilled with the idea. No, you're just putting all the responsibility on me then. Like, yeah, you're exactly right.
That way it's her fault if it goes wrong.
And she said, then I have to nag you, and that just creates a terrible dynamic.
Mm.
Probably doesn't work for every relationship, but...
Yeah.
I'm glad it worked for him.
Well, I'm glad we got the China shop for accountability.
I know. It really is the saving grace, I think. I think without doing this show, I don't think we would have had nearly... I mean, not saying we've had a whole lot of success to begin with, but... It would definitely be a lot worse.
What success we have had, yeah, is owed to this show for sure.
Right.
I mean, just today, I posted one of the Kyle Dan trades, and one of our users popped on and was like, hey, what was your thinking on that? I was like, yeah, I should probably justify that a little better than just being like, I made this trade.
Well, it's funny is because I'm actually still holding a position against that too, like in the same direction you went. Like, maybe I shouldn't be holding that anymore. Oh, accountability. Yeah.
Accountability.
I can't really justify it. Maybe I shouldn't be holding it.
Yeah, I guess my justifications are a little weak on that trade.
Right. Oh, shit. Who else did we have? Who was next? We had Deborah. We had two CFAs.
Yes.
After we spent, I don't know, like most of the lifetime of the show bashing them.
Yes.
They're actually pretty fun people to talk to.
Yeah, we got our first one and then we followed up with our second one. Yeah, Deborah W. Ellis.
Wasn't supposed to work out that way. That was, I was dealing with some back spasms the day we were supposed to record with Matt Rayner. And I had to push that one back. Deborah was really interesting, not just her trading background, but also hearing more about like the movie industry and the role that she played, like getting to film on like sets like Cheers and
Mork and Mindy. Yeah.
I was a little disappointed though. I tried to open the door to talk about our movie idea and she completely shut it down.
Yeah, I'm not the one to talk to about that.
Yes. Oh, all right. Well, I guess we'll just move on then. You're not even a little curious.
It makes you think that maybe she's heard those exact words before. Over and That's over exactly and over and over.
Oh, God. She must not really love movies if she doesn't like hearing about them.
It was a job to her. Like, she wasn't like, I want to be a writer and a producer. Like, she was busting her ass working on shows, you know?
Some random person walks up to me and says, hey, have you seen what Capital One's doing lately? Like, oh, well, let's take a look. Like, I'm stopping and having that discussion.
Yeah, but we're currently doing stocks and stuff, and she's not currently doing that.
I'm just saying. It's not her passion, you can tell.
Yeah, but financial advising clearly is.
Yeah.
Because she was doing stocks while she was producing shows, working on shows. The thing that I liked, and I wasn't aware of this, and probably why we stopped bashing financial planners so much, she works, her commissions are based on your profits.
No, she was fee-based. She went straight fee-based, so that way... there was no incentive to overtrade your account. A lot of that was one of the things I hated about most financial advisors. They'd base it commissions off of every trade they make for you. She did not do that. She was structured in a different way.
Yeah, her structure was like, I get a cut of your profit.
It was just a set fee. No, hers was a set fee.
What?
So that way you can actually plan it.
All right, I'm going to have to pull up the tape because that's not what I heard.
Pull up her website.
All right. I mean, I don't think you're lying, because why would you do that? That would be silly. I'm just questioning my own memory.
Oh, I'm telling you, your memory is wrong. Might actually be under Cogent Advisors.
Yeah. Well, you know, keep talking.
I don't know what else to talk about. Now we have to know.
Hold, please.
Now I'm committed.
Do, 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 do,
do. Adopted a fee-only business model. Commission-free advisors who don't sell products or answer to sales managers. We only get paid by you. Not sometimes or even most of the time, but all the time. This way we're not tempted to recommend solutions that may pay us more.
You are correct, sir.
But that was the other interesting thing. I'm talking to both her and I think it was it her or was it Matt that was telling us about getting, like, you know, incentivized by some of the different funds to try to push their products?
That was Matt. Yeah.
Okay. Well, should we pivot and talk about Matt? Because Matt was a fucking blast.
I mean, you can't trust my memory, but I think it was Matt.
I think it was too. I don't know why that surprised me so much when, like, you know, you already know that, like, doctors get paid to push different medicines.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they tried to make that go away finally, but, like, yeah.
No, they haven't.
Like, if somebody's trying to talk you into something, like, I guess you got to ask yourself why.
Yeah.
What are they getting out of it?
I was at breakfast with my dad the other day, and he was telling me his doctor took him off his metformin for his diabetes, and she was trying to push this other drug, and he like was feeling like shit, and they got him to a specialist, and the specialist's like, why'd you stop taking your metformin?
Right.
It's like, that doctor told me to stop it, and she's like, well, here's a prescription forever, and don't ever listen to her about metformin again.
Yeah, no shit.
It happens, you know, it's still happening. This just happened in his life. Like, it's sad. Like, you don't want it to be the truth,
yeah. But
when healthcare is for profit, everybody's trying to hustle and make their dollar.
Speaking of which, Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by Affiliate link in the description.
Yeah. Right. Everybody's got something. And that's gets back to, like, why when we talk to these people, when they open up and they tell us their journey,
mm-hmm.
and we get to see the bumps and bruises along the way, it's so valuable and makes you trust them all the more.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to establish that trust.
Yep.
I was just going to say, I think that's one of the reasons you don't hear us pushing those stocks anymore when we were getting paid by what's their faces.
Lifewater. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always felt dirty doing that. Tried to make it as honest as I could.
Yeah. Even with, like, even a funny song being like, hey, we're getting paid to talk about this. At the end of the day, it's not stocks we wanted to talk about.
So occasionally they gave us some that we liked. I still like Intiva. So, I mean, it wasn't all bad, but yeah. Like, if we were depending on that for money, like if that was our source of income, like, yeah, I'd feel pretty dirty.
Yeah. I see people on, like, TikTok pushing stocks and I'm always wondering.
Well, now I see that all over the place. Now that we actually got, like, we did that that business, I started seeing other people, like, that I was following on Twitter, like, posting those things. And I'm like, oh, now I know where that's coming from.
Yeah, you got marketing agencies out there pushing these products.
And what have we learned about marketing?
We're not good at it.
Especially when it comes to stocks. I'm thinking about trying a new strategy where I short every time I see an alpha. God, what was that site? Alpha something?
Seeking Alpha?
When I see them come out with, like, a Seeking Alpha. Yeah, if I see them publish a report that says, like, you should buy NEO. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to short you.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's directed towards money managers and hedge funds and, you know, actual, you know, industry people.
Yeah, right. Well, and that's something I do like that we have really pushed up on in November doing more is going over the stocks. We always have a target above and a below.
Right.
There's no, this stock's getting to 50. It's going to do it. It's like, okay, we're reading the chart. This is what we're seeing. This is the levels we're looking for. And that's so much more useful.
And it's so much more successful.
Yeah.
I look back, we started doing a review of those on the website. And so I go back and look at, like, the stocks that we talked about a month ago and look and see how our interpretation of the charts actually worked out. And I'm pretty sure our hit rate is over 50%.
Hell yeah.
If we say it's going to break this level and it's going to test this one.
Well, that's fucking awesome.
Looking at the list here. I mean, you had Apple, you were waiting to see what happened when it was at the 138 half support, waiting for that big news event to happen, and then deciding which way to jump on board based on the momentum. Well, yeah. What's it trading at today? 165?
Yeah, 165.
eBay, you had it flagging for a bullish move and break of all-time high. It happened like a couple weeks later. Microsoft, we talked about. We loved it. Watching for another break of all-time highs, which happened. I think Target was one of the most recent ones, and that one was another excellent pick.
Yeah.
Where is it at? I'm going to pull up the chart real quick. Target. We were looking for, let's see, it was a failed high and it was below support at 255. We're looking for 245 target as the first one. And it's currently trading at 242. Although it did post a new all-time high, so maybe that one's not great.
Well,
I forgot. Yeah, it did have a fake out.
It posted it on one day and it was like within 1%. Like it barely made an all-time high.
Yeah. And then promptly fell back down again.
Promptly fell back down.
Yeah, maybe that wasn't the best example. But there's been a lot of good ones. Zillow, Peloton.
Like when we talked about it, Target might not consider that one of the good ones. It's still following structure really awesome.
I know. That's why I like it. Yeah.
Oh, anyway. What was after Target? Peloton?
Oh, yeah. Peloton, Zillow, FTV, DWAC. DWAC, we said not to trade. It was still too new, but I did want to short it for a bet pick, and that would have worked out great.
Oh.
Nike, we saw that V bottom, looking for a 165 break to test all-time highs, which it did. I mean, yeah, this might be a little patting ourselves on the back, but I feel like it's well-deserved. It's been a long journey to get here.
Hell yeah. High five, Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any good tunes to play to congratulate us. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, add it to the list.
Add it to the list.
The list of disappointments.
I haven't needed one of those yet. So I have. Oops, I did it again.
Oh, yeah. Hey, maybe we do need. Well, what happened to the Rocket stock?
Oh, yeah. And I think it's going up a long, long time. The close bell rings, it's sound again to find. It's not the stock, the bears they want to own. Oh, no, no, no. It's a rocket stock. Rocket stock, soaring with your price up there alone. And I think it's going up a long, long time. And I think it's going up a long, long time. Yeah. Yeah, I need to bust open the music stuff again. That's my commitment to you, listener, is 2022. We got to have some new tunes.
Yeah, I think it's time to get some new tunes.
Yeah, that's coming up for sure.
All right. We're right about the middle of the show. So should I throw some consequence choices at you that you can ponder for the rest of it?
Yeah, what's my pain? What am I? Do I need to get a bottle of booze and take a shot first?
No, I don't think they're that bad.
Okay. Whew.
I don't think so. You made a comment the other day in the Discord about wanting a sharper spoon. I can't remember the exact context behind that, but
a sharper spoon?
Yeah, you said you felt like you were trying to like, fuck. Maybe I'll just go ahead and search for it.
Well, because I obviously have zero memory of that. Sounds like something I might say.
You like that because you said, I like that because I always think I have an edge, but sometimes I have a spoon. And I said something. And then you said you didn't want to check. You just wanted a sharper spoon. Okay. So for the first choice, I'm thinking that you have to spend the next month eating all your meals with only one utensil that you have to choose.
Okay. That's awkward.
Yes.
Can it be a sharpened spoon? Like a spork with a really sharp second end so like I can flip it around and use it as a knife?
Yeah, I thought about that too, and I was just trying to figure out how you wouldn't cut your hand or your mouth. Option two, since you like to cook so much, and we have the learning more about Canada and cooking their specialties, mm-hmm. I think you should try Charlie's specialties, or at least some of the recipes that are on Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You know, things like a grilled Charlie,
milk steak, energy balls.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
So we could do one of those a week. Yeah, actually, I think it's those two choices. I was thinking about making you choose or thinking about maybe a Waffle House one based theme, but
no,
that would just make me too jealous because I love Waffle House.
Oh, I love Waffle House too, but I have some questions with the Charlie recipe. Are you giving me the recipes or am I making them myself, trying to stay true to Charlie?
I think you just watch the episode, you see what he says, and then you try to recreate it based off of that.
So, like, if I marinated a steak in buttermilk, that's not going to count.
You have to boil it in buttermilk if you're going to do that. Milk steak is boiled hard. Boiled the way Charlie hard, yeah. Likes it.
Charlie likes it boiled hard.
So I guess you don't have to boil it in milk. I suppose you could soak it in milk and then boil it in water. I don't think either of those sounds all that appealing.
But I feel like over hard implies that you're boiling it in the milk.
It does.
or am I boiling it until it's hard? God damn Ooh, it.
Either way, it doesn't sound good.
Or one utensil. Okay, I'm going to have to think on that.
Yep.
I'm going to have to think on that. Shit. This is why you don't want to lose kids. All the children who listen to our show, Kyle, I'm talking to them right now.
Yeah. Consequences are a bitch.
You need to have good tech analysis and apply those skills to the bet. Like shooting from the hip for your bet picks is a bad idea. Have them prepared before the episode starts to record.
All right. Should we pivot into some lessons learned this last month?
Sure. Do that. I have not learned my lesson. No, I yet to learn any lessons. This month, I learned how hard it is to truly separate your emotions from your trading.
I feel like we both learned that lesson.
Yeah. And no matter what I think, I've got room to grow. And I need to really grow in that area for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think the emotional struggle has been one of the biggest things for both of us this last month.
Yeah. It's real.
I don't know that I necessarily found the answer yet either, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, me neither. That's why I'm looking forward to talking with Rich Friesen this week.
I'm looking forward to that too. Yeah.
Is that coming out next week? This is coming out this week?
Yeah, we're talking to him Tuesday. I think we're recording that here in the next couple of days.
Okay, yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. That's his whole specialty, you know. That's what he does.
Yep. Have you done any exploring on the TradePro website to see any of their psychology stuff? Because they apparently have a whole section on just trader psychology.
Yeah, I was aware they had the whole section. I haven't gone through it. I need to start watching through even videos I've already seen.
Mm-hmm.
Really feel like this month screen time, the value of screen time, I was able to like have a little bit of a level up in terms of things starting to click a little bit more when I look at a chart.
Yep.
Able to navigate through them faster, thinking about it less on where to put a level. It's just, you start to see where the level is, like instead of going through the process of where I'm looking for this, I'm looking, you know, looking for the peaks in the valleys, I'm looking for the volume profile. Like you can TradingView is amazing for it because you can manipulate the chart and get it to where the levels just pop up right in front of your face. And it's just like, oh, well, right. So click here, done. Look at that. Oh, it's beautiful. Makes a nice little box. I'm looking at Ford right now.
That's a good point on screen time. I mean, I don't think we realized how important that really was. I mean, we heard George Harper and other people talking about, you know, you got to get that screen time. You got to get that screen time. But, and it really, I guess, until you really stop and look back and see where you were, and it's nice having something documented that you can go back and listen to a year ago and see what your thought processes were, just to see how far off you,
how
far you've really come.
Oh, Jinko Solar to the moon, Kyle.
I know, right? I'm getting to the point now too, where I think, like, I feel like you do. I feel like I've got the pieces. I just need to assemble the puzzle now.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's all starting to come together. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, but it hasn't quite all clicked into place just yet. Like, that's what I was really liking about the way we've kind of changed the format where we're looking at these stocks. Then I was giving us a chance to go on record talking about what we think something's going to do. I've yet to really put money behind them successfully and actually trade them.
I did today.
I have been a couple of them, but I've always been, I don't know, I just need to start trusting myself now. Now that I've built up I think part of helping with the psychology is building up a backlog of successful work.
Mm.
I can go back and look at all this and say, like, look, I've had all these great ideas. Now it's time to execute.
I think for me, I've hit the point where I'm letting the chart make the choices for me. I'm trying to.
Yep. Yes.
And really take myself out of it, right? So it's not me, it's the process. That's what started to feel more satisfying the longer we go on.
Right.
Way more satisfying to have a target and a goal and have the trade set up, and then you enter the trade at a good point, you exit the trade at a good point, and it's like, hey, that feels great. Better than, like, I think AMC's going up because of the psychology of AMC apes and the amount of buy pressure and hold pressure. Like, no, I'd rather pick levels and play that game, play that there.
And let the stock tell you which way it's going.
Let the stock tell you. Just become an auction listener, not a speculator.
Right. My thing now is, though, I got to start putting the action together.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was one of the things that Rich Friesen had on his, I don't know how much time you spent looking at the spreadsheet he gave us for the improvements. One of the things that was on there was missed trades. Like how many profitable trades do you miss because you don't take action? He doesn't just focus on the psychology of, I guess, I don't know, being able to like cut losers and look at them like unemotionally. He also focuses on being able to act rationally, like to be able to jump into a trade when you have the things going in the favor that you want.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what holds me up the most is I get frozen or paralyzed. Like, I hit my level. I should be just buying it right now at this point because the level I've identified will let the stop dictate whether or not I stay in it. But then I get scared when I see it going down.
Right. You keep waiting for new data.
Right. And then by the time you're ready to jump back in, it's too late now and you've already missed the move.
Yeah. And that's another reason why levels are so important.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say levels, you know, talking specifically, like I don't have a single penny where I'm like, it's got to hit this. It's more like trading futures, like a zone that's got some leeway up or down, because it's not a precise thing to that level. You know, you're looking for an area to hold as support and resistance. And part of the thing with screen time is with not only different charts, but like the specific screen time on the same stock that you're watching, you get a better feel for how well this stock holds structure versus the next one.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's still an exciting time, Dan. Are you excited for the next year?
I'm so excited for the next year. The next year is when I think we really shine. In terms of personal traders.
Otherwise, we'll be going back to work.
Yeah. Back to work.
I really don't want to go back to the steel mill.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to go back to working a hotel desk, but it's goddamn easy. I don't want to work for anybody else. Is what I don't want to do.
I noticed.
Oh, you mean
to switch titles?
Oh, well, I still work for you in terms of the company operations.
No, kind of. Work is a strong word. I'm just kidding. I'm just busting your balls.
That's it. I'm calling a meeting. We're gonna get a new president in here.
I don't think you have the votes. You have to convince me.
Oh, damn it! No. See what right. power I hold over you. Yeah. No, I'll annoy you with bureaucracy and I'll just keep calling a vote. So we have to keep voting over and over again.
Motion denied.
All right. Do I have to make up my mind now on the bet? We jabbered long enough.
I think so. Have you come to a decision?
Yeah. So part of me is like, Dan, just use a fork all fucking month. You do it anyway because you lazy bastard at my house to do less dishes.
See, I thought that that's what your head would go to, but
yeah,
like this is one of those ones that I think is gonna, by day 20, you're gonna be so pissed off at that fork. Like when you're trying to like cut into a steak with it.
That's what I was about to say. I bought some T-bones today. They were on sale, half off, $7.50 a pound. And I'm like, do I want to fucking grill those T-bones? It's cheating if I'm like, Jen, can you cut this steak for me, please? Like that doesn't count. Like,
yeah,
like,
that's definitely cheating. Yes.
I would be trying to saw away at a steak with a fork and hating my life, and then being like, okay, I'll file the end of the fork down, and then I'll be slicing my cheek when I eat.
Or you just be eating with your hands like a caveman.
Right, right. That goes over well at the restaurant. Oh, I don't need a steak knife, sir.
On the other hand, though, you don't really want to ruin that brand new T-bone by boiling it in milk, though, do you?
Well,
I think for that, you just go get some top sirloin or something.
I mean, you get the quality meat out that you put in, right?
Well, I don't know that. I don't think that even Kobe would save being boiled in milk.
Challenge accepted. I'm doing the Charlie food. I'm going to make a milk steak that over hard. That'll make your mouth water.
All right. All right. I think what you should do then is two. I think you should do one the original way and then try to do it a way that makes it palatable.
Jesus, man. I didn't buy that many T-bones.
Well, the show will help reimburse for that.
Okay. All right. All right. I'll do it. I'll do two milk steaks. Oh, God. I know. There's a phrase you think you're going to have to say all the time in your life, right? Going to have to make two milk steaks.
Well, I mean, it's like just kind of keep the theme. You know, like when you're trying to make it palatable, I get a lot more freedom on that than just in that case, you're just trying to make milk and steak the theme of the meal.
Okay. All right. So I've got milk steak, energy balls, grilled Charlie, and...
Didn't Frank have a sandwich, too?
I was going to say fight milk. Oh, but I don't know if I can get crow egg.
No, you can't. You'd have to use quail eggs.
Made four bodyguards by bodyguards. God. I don't know what's in fight milk besides crow egg. The crow team.
I think it's just it's crow eggs, it was milk, and I think it was vodka.
Oh, good lord. I'm gonna throw up.
I think that's all that was in it, because they showed him making it on the commercial. He just cracks pouring milk into a big pan, he cracks the egg into it, and then he's just pouring like some clear liquid.
Yeah, mixture of crow egg, milk, and vodka. Tying crow team.
The energy balls are gonna be disgusting.
Do I have to put cough medicine in them?
No, it's vitamins.
Oh, I was sorry. I was thinking of the brownies in the dance off episode.
Oh. Oh, man, I'm looking forward to these meals.
Yeah, at least, they're going to be gross, but they'll be fun.
It'd also be really fun just to see if you can actually make it, you know, edible.
Okay, in the episode, he says, I buy milk, I buy flour, I buy vitamins, I boil them down into little energy balls to sustain me.
Yep.
So those are the ingredients. Clip. Milk, flour, and vitamins.
Oh,
God.
Oh, have you looked at how to make a grilled Charlie yet?
No, that's the last one.
Cheese on the bottom, butter on top. Chocolate in the middle, bread on top, and then peanut butter on top, and then jelly to taste. Does he put jelly on that one or not? I don't remember if he puts jelly on there.
He talks about it on I just watched it. They get two borders from Europe, and he talks to the German, the Austrian guy, and he's like, and you finish it on the radiator.
You can skip that part. He does it on the hot plate. There's one where he's making it with
Frank. No, I actually have a portable radiator heater for my room. I was going to put a metal pan on it and turn it on high and finish it, because that's how you melt the cheese on the outside.
Yeah. Oh, what was the meal that Frank always liked that Charlie would make for him? It was like all the breakfast meats wrapped up into a pancake and fried in a stick of butter.
Oh, my God. What? That sounds delicious.
Right? Except I don't know how you fry a pancake in butter.
How do you fry a pancake in butter? You throw a bunch of butter in a pan and then you pour in the pancake batter, but you do it at a higher temperature so it fries.
Oh, no. You cook the pancake first, then you wrap it with all the breakfast meat, and then you fry it.
Okay, can I replace fight milk with that?
Yes.
Yes, I really don't want to do raw eggs, vodka, and milk.
Well, there's no cooking in that.
That would really help me get weight for my next fight. Grilled Frank,
that must have been it.
Sausage, Spam, bacon wrapped in a jelly pancake cooked with a stick of butter. Okay, I should try and make videos of me making these things too.
Yeah, I think so.
Throw them up. Okay, folks, there you have it. I'm going to be eating some very strange foods inspired by one of the show Kyle and I enjoy very much, Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Stay tuned through the month of December as I do that. Probably do one a week. Looks like we got four here. I think I'm going to start with milk steak because I've got the T-bones already sitting in my fridge.
Oh, man, that feels like a waste of a T-bone.
Yeah, well, what am I going to do? I already bought them.
Yep. Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah.
I was also thinking you should eat a bag of spaghetti in a at a movie. The next time you go to the movie theater, just take a bag of spaghetti with you.
Oh, my God. I would love to do that. That's no chore. That's a pleasure, sir. That is a pleasure. I already sneak blocks of hard cheeses into movies.
No, do you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think of Parmesan or like the Rosemary Asiago, and you just fucking, just nibble on cheese the whole movie.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, it's keto diet, baby. No, I don't follow the keto diet, but there it is. Eat just eating cheese as a snack.
No, I'm just thinking about the poor people next to you.
Oh. I think Jen has come to accept my abnormal love of cheese.
See, you already sound like Charlie.
I just don't. I can't do his high pitched voice. It's a very distinct voice. I identify with Charlie way too much. Oh, anyway, we're just rambling now. Thanks for sticking with us to the end, folks. Coming back at you the end of the week with an exciting new episode, and we'll be back next week with Rich Friesen. So stay tuned. Until then, happy trades.
Bye. Have fun editing this one. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out, download us on any streaming network, blah 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.